This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. I've titled this message this afternoon, "Do Not Become a Spiritual Pack Rat." You'll understand it as we go along. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I always stand here before you with such a grateful heart as this YPC have sung, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in my life. My God, I stand before you with a grateful heart. I know my roots. I know where I was headed. But I thank you this day that you saved my soul. You put a song in my heart, Lord Jesus. You changed my whole being. And today I stand before you with a grateful heart. And I say, thank you, God." Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I ask that you take this word. Only by your word can you quicken our hearts, quicken our lives, change us. Now, Lord, speak to us. My God, I ask that you animate me. Just speak through this vessel. I yield this vessel to you today. Let my words just fall to the ground, but let the eternal word of God find its mark in our heart this day, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A lot of people may not understand what a pack rat is. A pack rat is somebody who has a compulsive behavior in an inability to throw away anything. They just, whatever they get, they keep. And it's like a treasure to them. And you may know somebody who is a pack rat. You may be one yourself today. But I'm not talking about a natural pack rat, somebody who has this compulsive behavior just to keep. We all know somebody like that. There's people who regularly clean their closets out. They keep things moving. They don't try to keep things in their household. But other people are not like that. They keep things. They store things. Every place, every nook and cranny in the home is a place to put something. But I'm not talking about that today at all. I want to illustrate today through these lepers that we should not become a spiritual pack rat. It has got nothing to do whether you are a person that likes to keep things or you're a person that doesn't like to keep things. It has nothing to do with the natural at all. It has everything to do with the spiritual this afternoon. Look at this few verses together with me in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And we'll read through verse 19. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" They weren't allowed to get close to anybody. They stood afar off. But when they heard of Jesus and they knew he was in the vicinity, these 10 men stood up away from the crowd and began to lift up their voices and cry to Jesus. And they cried, "Lord, have mercy on us." Verse 14. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." Very powerful moment in their lives, that as they began to walk and as they walked away from Jesus in obeying his command, they were cleansed. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that turn to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Leprosy in the Bible is often used as an example to illustrate the power and the type of sin in a heart of a person. This is what one of the concordances say about leprosy. The disease begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms, gradually spreading over the body, bleaching the hair white wherever they appear, crusting the affected parts with white scales and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bones, rotting the whole body piecemeal. See, that's what sin does. It doesn't look like much on the outside, but given a chance, it begins to eat away at the whole being of a person's life. It's contagious. There was a man by the name of Dr. Turner who worked among lepers in South Africa at the turn of the century. And this man was both a missionary and a researcher, and he worked among lepers in South Africa. And on his return to the United Kingdom or England at the time, as a researcher, he was compelled in his heart to find some kind of remedy to help these people who are absolutely besieged by this disease. And while he was working and on his research trying to find a cure for this disease, he woke up one morning getting ready for work, and while he was shaving, as he put his hand up to begin to shave his face, he saw the familiar white spot on his hand, and this missionary researcher had contracted the deadly disease. And so we see he died of that disease without coming to a place of a cure. It is contagious. The apologist Ravi Zacharias, talking about the leprous soul, talks about a friend apologist of the 20th, Christian apologist of the 20th century, Malcolm Muggeridge. And he says about this apologist, Malcolm Muggeridge, as he was a young man living in India as an English teacher, a Christian man working among the Indian population as an English teacher. And he tells how one day Muggeridge in the early evening got up and he went down to the Ganges River where he would take a wash in the early evening. And while he was down at the river bathing, he spotted a woman bathing on the other side. And his heart began to pound with wild unreasonableness, which is called passion. Ravi Zacharias says that this man, as he shared with him, suddenly was seized by his lustful imagination. He lunges into the water and crosses the river, all the time struggling with his conscience and the Holy Spirit speaking to his heart not to cross that river. He puts down the voice of God. He shuts it down as he allows this passion to lay a hold of his heart and his mind. He emerges face to face on the other side of the river with this naked woman and almost fainted. For before him was a woman with her eye sockets eroded, her feet deformed. She was toothless and racked with leprosy. He threw himself back into the water with fright, shocked over the confrontation. Muggeridge telling Ravi Zacharias that he admitted that the real shock that day was not the leper. He wasn't shocked by the confrontation of the leper. He says he was shocked rather by the condition of his own heart, dark with the appetites that were not yielded to Jesus Christ. He says that's what began to affect him so powerfully. And it was on that particular time in his life that he actually surrendered his life so completely to Christ that Muggeridge became one of the great apologists of the early 20th century, a man I'm sure who has passed on. at this time, but he was so powerfully touched by that incident, knowing that the leprosy of his own soul, it's something that creeps into the heart and mind and seeks to overtake the whole life of a person. So here we have in the story these 10 lepers. They understand they are advanced in leprosy. 10 of them separated from the community. They understood the pain and the powerlessness that was the condition of their heart and life. Sin is so wicked, it begins to eat away at the soul, and like these 10 lepers, there's a sense of powerlessness. They can't change their circumstances. They're caught in this grievous condition of leprosy, and there's no change. It's to their peril. It's an acknowledgement that they are going to die of this wretched disease. And so they lift up their voice and they begin to cry to the only one that they know that can save them from this leprosy, and that's Jesus Christ. And they begin to cry out with all of their heart, God, have mercy on me. You see, they acknowledged that this leprosy was a type of sin. They acknowledged that. They weren't crying out, God, heal me. They were crying, God, have mercy on me. Cleanse me. Lord, do a work in my heart and my life so thorough that my life is completely changed in your presence, as they began to lift up their voice. You see, God loves the leper. You can read this throughout the scriptures. He loves the leper. The blind, in talking to John's disciples, he says to them to go back to John the Baptist and tell them, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached. You see, there's something in the heart of God that when he sees those that are so emaciated by this dreaded disease, that this, it touches the heart of God. He knows the powerlessness of their condition. And these people, these 10 men, standing aside, apart from everybody else, they understood the powerlessness of their condition. Oh, to God, that I pray that every day of my life I would understand the powerlessness of the condition of sin and say, God, keep me from anything that would destroy my soul. It's something that comes into the heart of a person, that there's a cry that says, God, only you can keep us. And these 10 men rise up with their voice because they knew that God loved the leper. He was in the home of Simon the leper. He had been healed, and Jesus spends time in that place with him. You see, when these men walked their way and they began to turn with that loud voice, they had cried out to the Lord and God had touched them and they were cleansed. It means that when the word cleansed there simply means it's a not only a physical and religious, but it's a moral cleanliness. It's a cleansing of the soul. There's a purity that comes into the soul. And so as they walked, that they could sense the power of Almighty God at the command of Jesus. At the command of Jesus, as they began to walk in obedience to the word of Almighty God, that which had held them captive where they were so powerless to change, it was for the peril of their lives. They were in this condition where there was no hope, no strength within themselves to free themselves from this dreaded disease. But yet at the obedience of the voice of Almighty God. You see, folks, when you catch this by the Spirit, when you understand by the power of the Holy Ghost, that when God speaks to a sin-laden soul, the very moment that you begin to respond to the voice of God when He says, arise, you go forward, I'm going to heal you. That the cleansing power of Almighty God begins an instant restorative work in the life of that person. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the house today. That at the voice of the Holy Spirit, that our God, whom we serve, can touch your soul and your life and set you free. It doesn't matter what disease has gripped your soul. My God, at His command, you are able to be set free in an instant and powerfully by the Holy Ghost. As they stood up and they began to walk, in the obedience to the voice of God, they were cleansed. But only one. You know, I get involved in these stories because they are so powerful. See, in this verse 15, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, Now, the Bible says that Jesus cleansed them. As they began to walk, they were cleansed. That means an internal cleansing, that the source of this disease had come to an end. The source of it. It's like someone going through chemotherapy with cancer, and that chemotherapy begins to destroy those cancerous cells in the body until it's eradicated. That's like the cleansing. They are no longer there. The ravages of that particular disease may be continued in the body. The evidence might be there, but actually they were cleansed. It's gone. And this is what these 10 men experienced. They experienced that in their soul that God was cleansing them from the very source of this disease. But you've got to read the next verse. The next verse gets more exciting because here is this one. They had advanced leprosy, some of the commentators tell us. They're alone and they've got this advanced leprosy, but it's so powerful because the one in verse 15 says he was healed. And in the original language, that means that was one person. It was a person who had come in contact with a supernatural miracle of God. So he's walking along. Not only does he sense that he has been cleansed, that the source of this dreaded disease in his soul has been eradicated from his body, but as he's walking along, he's actually in touch with the miracle power of Almighty God. He's suddenly seeing fingers begin to grow on his hand. This is what is spoken about when he says he saw that he was healed. It's a miracle. He probably put his hand to his ear that had probably fallen off because of the cancer and found that his ear was back in place. Suddenly his hand was grown. This is a man who's walking down the road. He senses the power of God inside of him, cleansing him from the very source of the disease. But he's also a man who suddenly begins to understand the fingers that were falling off. How do you console somebody when your hand is falling apart? And suddenly this man's hand is there. His nose is growing back. Every part of his body, he's looking at his hands, his arms, he's feeling his face. He's suddenly realizing, I'm not only cleansed, but I'm healed. Every part of the old man is gone. Behold, the new has come this day. And this is the man that stands up and he is so consumed by this. He turns around and you've got to see the picture of this. He can hardly contain it. He turns around. The Bible tells us in verse 15 that he came back and he was healed. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. Verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You see, beloved, when somebody gets a touch from Almighty God, you don't have to go to a worship seminar to be taught how to worship God. When you get a touch from Almighty God, the Holy Ghost shows you how to worship God. You see, He doesn't care. God doesn't care whether if your song is in tune or it's not in tune. All He knows is here is a soul that has been touched by Almighty God. His hands have come alive and He doesn't care. Folks, He is running back to the source of His healing. He's running back to the place where God touched His soul. And He doesn't care who's around about Him. He doesn't care if His song is in tune or not. He's got a song in His soul and He falls on His face. You see, when you get touched by God, you become an instant worshiper. And if you're not worshiping God from your soul, then maybe you've become a pack rat. This man was not going to become a pack rat. He wasn't going to keep these things. The Bible says that two things took place in this man. He became instantly a worshiper and instantly a witness of the power of Almighty God. This man came running down the street. He was loud. He was shouting. And I'm not just talking about just getting on the streets and shouting, folks. He had something to shout about. It's coming from a soul that this man got up and he had something in his soul. There was something in his spirit. There was something so deep down inside. He looked at his hands. He began to shout. Jesus, I'm sure Jesus began to smile because he probably timed it. He said, this one guy's going to come back. Give him 5 more minutes because he's known the cleansing, but in 5 more minutes, he's going to see that finger pop out. He's going to know his ear's back in place. His nose is back on his face. And inside of his soul, there's going to come a shout that nobody's going to hold him back. You see, beloved, this, you know what the story is in here? The story is in here to bring the message to us that we who have been cleansed from sin have a message in our soul. We become instant worshippers of Almighty God. And who can keep us quiet? Who can hold us back from speaking the wonderful works of Almighty God as this man did? This might not be a deep message, but I tell you something. It's something in the soul that I want to stay connected with. You know, this last week, in fact, it was Christmas Eve, and I was in the dentist chair again. And I'm in the dentist chair, and before I'd got there, I had drunk a venti skim milk, extra hot, no foam latte. And so as he had begun, I said to him, we need to take a break on my tooth because I have to take a break and I'll come back again. So I took the break, and when I came back, one of the other dentists in the office was leaving, and his assistant was talking to my dentist. So I come through the where the little kind of the chairs were, and I walk by there, and so my dentist introduces me to this other dentist assistant and says, this is Pastor Neil. He's one of the pastors at Times Square Church. So I reach out, I shook her hand, and the moment I shook her hand, the Holy Spirit revealed three things instantly to my heart. As sure as I'm standing here, I knew it. And it was like the Holy Spirit said to me, this lady has some deep-seated questions. Number two, she's extremely lonely. You know, it's an amazing thing. Here you are having a conversation in the natural, and the Holy Ghost is having another conversation in the spiritual. Only Christians can have two communications going on at the same time, and there's never confusion between the two. That's why you can sit here and you can be whispering to someone else and the Holy Ghost says, hey, I'm speaking to your heart. And so Christians have this ability to have two-way communications going on. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said she's a desperately lonely individual and that she has bouts of depression. So it just in that moment of time, I wasn't thinking anything except getting back in the chair, but the Holy Ghost just reveals this information. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, what do I do now with this information? Do I tell her or do I just pray? And then the Holy Spirit said, you're preaching on don't become a spiritual pack rat. Are you going to keep my information or are you going to give it? And so I said, oh God, you're going to have to help me here. So I just said, I took a step of faith and I said, excuse me, ma'am. But I know that God has designed every one of us for a capacity for God. And you've got a capacity for God. I'm not talking to your head, I'm talking to your heart right now. You've got a capacity for God. And God will answer the questions that you have so deep in your heart. It just can't begin to flow. And the second thing I said, and God has shown me that you're a very lonely individual. And that you've gone through bouts of depression. And she stood back, and I knew I could have led it to the Lord, but I chickened out. And I said, now, there was another person who was coming in for an emergency, so I said to her that my dentist has another emergency. If you're still here when he does this emergency on this other person, and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'll pray with you. And so I went back into the chair. And God just said, why didn't you just lead it? Why don't you just bring it to me? I gave you the information. Why didn't you just lead it to me? So I just, while he was drilling and cutting and doing whatever they do best, and you got to sit there and smile the whole time, I prayed. And as soon as the guy came in for the emergency, and he came in to the dentist, and I got up, and my dentist took him to fix an emergency in his mouth, and I just sat down in the waiting room, and she was on the phone. And I just prayed and I said, God, you know, if this is what you want to do in this person's life today, then I ask that you just bring her back into this place and I'll just speak to her and I'll lead her to Christ. And it wasn't even like 3 minutes and I heard the phone get hung up and she stood up, she came around and she came into the waiting room and she sat down And she said, I want to give my life to Christ. It was fantastic. And God, you see, God wants to touch people's lives. So I prayed with her. And she received Jesus Christ into her life. And she just began to glow. She was saved. I was so, you know, when you get so fired up. Now I'm full of the Holy Ghost now, man. So this guy who had this emergency in his mouth, he comes out of the chair and he's standing there and he's complaining because he has to pay a bill he didn't think he had to pay. And not everybody is ready for the gospel. I want you to know that. God will give you discernment how to deal with that. Some of us are a little slower than others. So I'm standing there thinking, I'm going to pray for you. So I said, can I pray for you? He said, what? I said, I'd like to pray for you. He said, excuse me? I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'd like to pray for you. He says, oh, okay. And so I just began to pray. And God began to touch that man's soul. I tell you, it was just an awesome time in the presence of God. Beloved, God is going to be doing this. Our heart is to touch the city. God wants to touch people's lives. These lives are, if you could understand that they are bound and they are held captive. We can be pack rats. We can hold back the truth of Jesus Christ. But if God reveals something, you've got to be open. There's got to be an expectancy in your heart to say every day, wake up and say, God, use my life today. God, you know every single person's heart, every person's life. You know what's going on inside of their heart. God can reveal it in a moment. And if He does, you take that opportunity and take that step, because God wants to set a city free, as we'll see this afternoon. It's in His heart, beloved. I believe it's in God's heart to see New York City set free. Many people set free this coming year. I believe it's in His heart, and He's going to use each one of us. Jesus asks the question in verse 17. He says, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? You see, beloved, some people prefer ritual over revelation. Some people would rather just have a ritualistic Christianity. And the question isn't, it's not like Jesus doesn't know where they are. I think that this is like a statement He's making. He says, where are they? Where are they? You see, if you come back in worship, when God touches your life and you come back in an attitude of worship before the throne of Almighty God, that's the very place that He begins to speak into your life, His very purposes for you. And this is what He was desiring of these other 9. So when He's asking the question, where are they? It's not that He doesn't know where they've gone. He's making a statement. What has happened to them? I don't want my life to end up with the statement, where is he? What happened to his life? I touched him. I touched his very soul. I healed him. Where is he? What's he done with the life and the touch of God upon him? What's he done with that which I've given? You see, these other 9 were typical spiritual pack rats. Oh, they've got a testimony, but they took that which God had so freely given to them. And you hear no more about it. They consume it upon themselves. They live only for their own well-being. They love the ritual more than the revelation. And God says, where are they? You see, beloved, every single one of us, when we get touched of Almighty God, when we come and fall and prostrate ourselves before Him, He has something in mind for your life. It's that person who falls before God and says, God, what do you have for my life? And He begins to reveal them in that place of worship. It's that opportunity when God touches you in a meeting like this, that you come and you fall at the face of Jesus Christ and say, God, what do you have for my life? I might have gone astray. I might have been one of those 9. But today, I'm no longer going to be one of those 9. I'm going to be number 2 that's coming back to Jesus Christ. I'm going to come back and worship at His feet and say, God, you've got to have more for my life than just healing. These people went off for the healing, and praise God for their testimony. But these are the kind of people that lived 20 years with the same testimony. They remember the day that they were changed, but they have no testimony of the almighty power of God working presently in their life. And this is what Jesus Christ is wanting. This is the desire. You see, Jesus is not some kind of egomaniac who wants people just to fall and worship at him. You don't understand. The people who get touched, he says, when you come back and you worship at the throne of God, it's not just that I want your worship, but it's in that communion between you and me that I begin to speak things into your soul that you will never hear anywhere else but from the voice of Almighty God. He says, that's the reward of the one who comes back and says, my God, you've touched my soul. You've set me free. I fall at your feet. God, what do you have for my life? And this is what God is doing with these men. And we see nine have gone. In Luke chapter 5, don't turn there. There was a man who was healed and he said, go right to the priest. This is the New Living Translation. He says, and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, so everyone will have proof of your healing. So they were to go. And when you go back into Leviticus and you read that part of the sacrifice, what they were supposed to do when they'd made the sacrifice, the priest would take the blood and he would put a little bit of blood on the right ear, a little bit on the right thumb, and a little bit of blood on the right toe. And then he would take some oil. And then he'd do the same thing and put a little bit of oil on the right lobe and on the right thumb and on the right toe. You see, beloved, that was an indication that when anybody came in contact with that person and they saw the blood, they knew that that person had been cleansed. It was an indication of healing and cleansing. Now, when this person comes to Jesus, when he comes to Jesus and he falls at his feet, you see, there's a lot of people who can walk the walk and talk the talk, but don't live for God. Oh, they can show you the blood on the ear. They can show it to you on their thumb. They can show it to you on their big toe. But they don't have a life with God. And these were nine who went back to the priest to go get the markings. There's a lot of people who say, I'm a Christian. They speak the language. You can identify some of the markings that they seemingly have as being a Christian. But they love the ritual. They could have come to the very one who gives them life. But yet they go to the one because they love the ritual. There's so many people who just want to live in the ritualistic lifestyle of religion. Oh, they've had a touch from God, but they are not interested in hearing what God can do now in and through their lives. Beloved, this house today, every single person, the earshot of my voice, I want you to know and understand that you can have the markings of the blood on your ear, your thumb, and your toe, and you have no life in you. Oh, you've got a testimony. But I can tell you today that every single one of you in the earshot of my voice today, that God has a plan for your life. And if you would just come to Him, you don't need to go and get the rituals. You can come and get faith from Jesus Christ. He can speak into your soul and into your life. Hallelujah. You can have the ritual. You see, the ears, the touching of the ear means that you've heard from God. The touching of the thumb means that there is a strength that God's given you, not of yourself. It was just a type. It was just a shadow of what God was saying. He said, this is all that it meant, but some people just want the ritual. But yet God was saying, what it means is that this is a person who's hearing. This is a person who's getting a strength apart from their own selves. And they are able to walk this walk in a power that's not of their own strength. That's what it means. That's why when this one man comes back to him, and I love it, beloved, this man comes back and worships at his feet, because this was a man who didn't need to go through the ritual and have the blood put on him, on his ear and his thumb and his toe. He got it from God himself. And as he was worshiping in the presence of the living God, Jesus said to him, you've already got it. You've got it. Arise. Go. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You've heard. Now go in the strength of the Holy Ghost upon you. Go in the strength and the power of my might in your life. See, every person who gets touched by the power of God, they get placed into God's protection program. We know what a witness protection program is. A witness protection program is when you've been a witness for the country or the state and your life is in danger. They give you a brand new identity. They take your life and they ship you off to somewhere else. Nobody knows where they're shipping you off. They change your identity, they give you a brand new name, they change everything about you so that when you take up life in another part of the country, nobody knows you. Nobody knows your past, your background, and that's called a witness protection program. I want to tell you, every person who gets a touch from Almighty God gets placed into heaven's witness protection program. It's awesome. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You see, beloved, when you've got the testimony of Jesus Christ washing you and cleansing you, you get placed into God's protection program. It's an amazing thing, because the enemy comes and he knocks on the door. He says, I'm looking for Neil Rhodes. I say, really? Yeah, I'm looking for Nero. He was an apprentice hippie at one time. A liar, a cheat, and I've come to accuse him. Oh, I remember somebody like that, but he's dead. He died. The guy that you're speaking has no name. He's going to get a name one day in heaven, but I'm a no-name person right now. I'm in a brand new family. You see, the devil can't come and pick on a no-name person. Have you ever thought about that? Well, I'm going to pick on you because I know your past. What's your name? I'm going to get it in heaven. Well, how can I pick on a no-name individual? You see, the person that he wants to pick on is the one that's already got a name. And see, that was my name. Oh, that was me. Yes. Oh, you're talking about Neil Rhodes. Oh, I remember that guy. He was a wretched individual. He was leprous from head to toe. Nothing good in that guy at all. But he died. January 1972. He's gone. The guy who's standing before you is in God's witness protection. The devil can't touch you, beloved. When you step up and you begin to walk in faith in Jesus Christ, there's no power, no weapon that can be formed against you can rest upon your life. The devil's got nothing on you. You see, this is the power. The nine go off in a ritual. They've got a testimony, but open to accusation. But the one who comes back to Jesus and says, Jesus, I want to live for you. You tell me what you want. I've got a testimony in my heart. When God speaks into that individual, he puts him into his protection agency. And God, I tell you, God protects that soul. It doesn't matter when every... Listen, let me read it to you in the Bible. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. I know I'm getting the preaching getting a little loud, but I've been excited about this word. Listen to this. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. This is Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole earth. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, beloved, today. The word now means for every generation, every single individual in the earshot of the Holy Ghost. You hear the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart today, then this word is a reality for you. He says, now, today, is come salvation. Not next week. He knows that the devil's going to come against you. He knows that the old armies of hell want to try and destroy your life. He knows that all hell wants to come and break down the testimony of Jesus Christ in your life. But this is what the loud voice that was heard. Now remember, the blood is on the ear. If you hear what the Holy Ghost is saying, you see, those who come into the presence of Almighty God and say, God, thank you, begin worship him, begin to hear what the Spirit is saying into their heart. And suddenly they begin to hear a new word. God starts speaking into them. Oh, I understand, old Spirit Hoof himself is against you. I understand that old serpent is spitting and is greatly angry and mad. I know that old great dragon and all of his co-hosts coming against you. But I got another word for those who are listening to the voice of the Holy Ghost in their heart. Not living by a ritualistic religion, but living in a relationship with Jesus Christ, falling at His feet saying, God, I worship You. They hear another voice. Now is come. This is the voice that they hear. This is the voice that I hear today in my own heart. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Beloved, it's so awesome. When you go with God, He puts you into His protection program. No weapon formed against you will ever again prosper when you are listening to the voice of Almighty God. Amen? Okay, let me close today. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 7. Two verses and I'm closing. We know the story of four lepers. And these four lepers, they heard a voice speak into their heart. The city is captivated, held in bondage. They hear a voice in their heart. I believe that is a voice in their heart. They get up. They begin walking towards the camp of the Syrians. And as they begin walking, God creates a supernatural miracle. It sounds like the thunderous roll of a military might coming down upon the host of the enemy. And when the lepers get there, look at verse 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. Beloved, look at me for 1 second. This is what we have in the Church of Jesus Christ today. You see, God has an intent that His blessings and His power and the work of the supernatural work of the Holy Ghost is to set a city free. There are nations that God wants to set free. There are peoples in cities that God wants to touch and open up those cities to life that God has for them. But we have a church today that has become inward turned, and they have taken that which God has blessed for the purpose of reaching people's lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are consuming it upon their own selves, and they become pack rats. They hid it. They took all that God had given and they hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. I think that God has a controversy with the church, the universal church today, because they are taking the power and the blessing of God and they are hiding it from the world. They're consuming the blessings upon themselves, and I believe that God has a controversy with the church. But see, God continues to speak into these men's hearts. Look at verse 9. And they said to one another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And it literally means in the original language, it means a tremendous military victory. It means that God has given a supernatural, powerful victory. We do not well. God has come, and by His power, He has destroyed all the powers of hell. He's broken the stronghold of the enemy. This is what this means by the good tidings. They suddenly come to a realization that the calling of God upon their lives wasn't just to consume all of this good things that God was doing in their life for themselves, but this was something that God had put before them to take into the nation and take into the city. And so we see that this good tidings is a message of great military conquest, that God has absolutely destroyed the powers of darkness and that the enemy has been defeated. And we hold our peace. And this is what they said. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Beloved, what he's saying here is simply this. If we wait until morning, if we don't allow that which God has given to us and give it to somebody else, When God speaks and He wants to touch someone else's life and we hold back the very words of life when somebody is perishing. The Bible says that this word mischief means to be bent or twisted out of the way. It means to be deviated from that which is the right way that God has for you to go. He says, we'll be deviated. We'll be turned around. Twisted out of the way. This is not the purpose of God that we just consume this upon ourselves. This is not the purpose of God that we just take all of this wealth and all of this riches and all of this food and all this raiment and we just consume it upon ourselves and hide it. He says, if we take this attitude, we are going to be twisted and bent out of the way. That which God has made available and made very clear to our hearts and lives, the Bible says we'll be twisted out of the way. Turned away from the very purpose that God has saved us and touched us and ministered something into our lives. Beloved, I don't want to end my life having been twisted and turned out of the way. I want to know that when God has touched my heart, touched my life, He's put a message within my whole being. And this message cannot be kept for myself. It shouldn't be just me as a fire escape to get out of hell. And somebody says that my religion is my own business. No, it's not your own business. He saved you so that you can touch somebody else's life. These four men got up and they went back to the city here at midnight in the darkest part of the night in a city that was totally shut up, dying and no hope at all. And in the middle of that midnight night of this city that was so captivated by sin, there were only four people. Four people began to shout from the gates on the outside of that huge city in Samaria and begin to communicate that God has a plan. He has destroyed the powers of hell. There is no more military might set against you. And that God has made every provision for your life and for your soul. And as they began to shout and communicate to those people, God began to put within them that voice to shout out to a people lost and captivated. And when they opened those gates, they sent people out. The whole city was touched by the power of God. Beloved, it's not an impossibility for God to touch New York City one more time. It's not an impossibility. If four lepers can go back with what God has given to them and begin to speak at the gate and just stand at the gate. Stand at the gate. Whatever the gate is in your life, whether it's on the job, your home, your neighborhood, whatever gate God leads you to, don't be a pack rat and hold these things and hide them to yourself. God will put within your heart the desire to say, God, I'm going to come to you. You've got a purpose for my life. You stand at that gate. You just begin to speak as God leads you. And I'm telling you, beloved, it's going to be as easy as that woman in that dentist office where I could just speak to her that which God had given. See, God gave me the knowledge what was in her soul. He gave me the very treasures of heaven. Nobody else knows what goes on in the heart and the soul of a human being, but God does. And when He opens those things to your heart, you might be sitting on the job and working, and God begins to reveal that your co-worker is about to commit suicide. Who knows what God knows, what's going on in the heart, but He will put it into your soul. Then will you arise? You go stand at the gate. He's not asking you to save the soul. That's His business. He says, stand at the gate and proclaim, the enemy is defeated. Hallelujah. The enemy is defeated. God can save your soul. Just speak what God gives to you and the city is yours. Oh, beloved, I believe that you get Pastor Carter's words from this morning. You've got the vision for Times Square Church 2005. And I believe that New York City belongs to the church and not to the devil. I believe it belongs to those who will say, God, I am not going to take what you've given me and walk away with a testimony. Here's something great. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come and fall before your face. I'm going to say, God, I was one of those nine. I've been one of those nine. Yes, you've touched me. My altar call is simple today, beloved. We're serious about God. I am not going to end my life. I am not going to end my life as one of the nine. I will not. I will not end my life as one of the nine. I'm going to be one of those that come back and fall at His face and say, Jesus, whatever you have, I'm going to worship you. And in that moment of worship, and you'll tell me and continue to speak into my heart that which you've called me to do. Today, if you have leprosy, you're bound by something that you cannot get rid of out of your heart and out of your life, I want you to know unequivocally today, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that the moment you hear the Spirit of God say, arise and come to this altar, you are being set free immediately by the power of Almighty God. If it's not that powerful, then I don't have the right gospel of Jesus Christ. And secondly, if you are one of the nine that have walked away and you've just struggled about, oh God, how do I use you? I'm inviting you to come and join us at this altar today and say, Jesus, I want to be the one that comes back. I'm going to come worship at your throne today. I want you to speak into my heart. God, I want you to begin to do that work in my life where you speak, I hear. I just don't want blood on my earlobes and my thumb and my toe. I want to walk in this. I want to walk in the power of the Spirit. I want to walk knowing the blood has washed me and cleansed me and the power of the Holy Ghost resides in me. That's what I want. Then this altar call, I'm going to open it up to you this afternoon. If you say, Pastor, that is my heart, I want you to get up out of your seats and you come to this altar and say, God, I want to be the one that comes back. I want to hear from God afresh. Let's stand together. And these altars are open. In the annex, you come directly over here. We'll wait for you. In the balcony, God's been speaking to you. You've been listening to two conversations, mine and the Holy Ghost, and He's calling you. This altar is open. Step out of your seats. You come here this afternoon. We're going to pray together in Jesus' name. You come, beloved. God's speaking to your heart. You've been struggling with saying, God, is there any purpose for my life? God is saying, just come worship me. Come worship me this afternoon. I'm going to begin speaking afresh to you. Some of you haven't had the voice of God so clear in your heart for such a long time. You hear things, but you don't hear God speaking to you. Then, beloved, maybe you come and fall at His feet today. And you worship Him and let Him speak to you. You come while I pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You today that You have spoken to our heart. Lord, if anything, You've spoken to my life. I want my life to count. Not because I have strength to do anything, but because I'm powerless to do anything. And I fall prostrate at Your feet and I commit my heart to You and I say, Jesus, I worship You. You've cleansed me, forgiven me. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, Jesus, speak into me. Just lead me by Your Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you at this altar. You pray after me. Lord Jesus, I am powerless. I recognize my inability to walk, to talk, and to live the overcoming life. I need You. I need You to speak to me. I don't want to be one of the nine. I want to be the 10th person. The one who came back. This afternoon, Jesus, I open my heart to You. I worship You. And I thank You today that You've cleansed me. And You've healed me. You've made me a whole being. I'm a whole person today. Because You, by Your Spirit, have made me whole. Now, Lord Jesus, as I open my heart to You, speak to me every day. I don't want ritual. I want a living relationship. Speak to me daily about those that I work with, my family, my neighborhood. Use my life. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank You that You have a people in New York City. Lord, I see us not as many members, but as one. We are the one, Lord. And I'm sure there's other churches that feel exactly the same way. We're not exclusive. when we say this, but from our heart we do know it, that we are responding to Jesus, that in our generation and in the time that we have been allotted, we'll be the one that will go and stand by the city gate and declare, "My God has set you free." Now, Father, I believe it. Bless this church this coming year. Bless these homes. Bless our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just give Him thanks now, beloved. Just give Him thanks. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.